Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, let's go to the Wester Hotline now because Mike Tenier joins me on the Wester Hotline. First and foremost, good afternoon, Mike. Good to have you. Thanks for joining me. And hey, congrats on your first 2 weeks of new employment for you over at Pro Football Network. And obviously some great pieces coming out this week. That's why I got you on to talk. So congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. And yeah, fans will be able to find me every Monday at Pro Football Network. And if they head over there now, last week's stuff, including a Buffalo Bills preview, is there. And then some NFC stuff will be dropping this week. And then the following week, we'll be able to talk about real football games, which will be very exciting.
I'll tell you. You know, you don't necessarily take for granted NFL football right up until the fact that it's in question. And I know a lot of people without preseason. Isn't it funny, though, most of us complain as like to almost ad nauseum about how awful preseason football is and how it's been taken away and how almost universally it's being clamored for to be brought back?
Yeah. And you know what? There was playoff basketball available to those who were interested, and playoff hockey, et cetera, which isn't usually available in August. And yet I know for me personally, it was like, you know, the rhythm of August and these Thursday night games, and they're pretty terrible, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but that's my job, and that's your job. Like, we have to watch the games. And I always wonder why fans are like, man, these games are so terrible. They're so terrible. Watch the first quarter, then go do something else, or turn the sound down and read a book or play a video game and watch the rookies or whatever. You don't have to watch it. Now that it's gone, I personally missed all of the dramas of, oh, quarterback controversy, or, oh, the seventh round pick caught 8 passes in the fourth quarter. Is he the next Jerry Rice? All that stuff is fun. You don't have to be glued to your TV to enjoy it. You can enjoy it kind of as a hot stove league. And absolutely, I really missed all those elements of preseason this year.
Not only that, but, you know, getting to know some of these guys now that are being cut, I think is actually kind of a fun part of it is, you know, figuring out who these people are and learning about their stories. And you know, that's definitely something I miss about the preseason, is better understanding some of these young guys that, you know, undoubtedly are going to be looking for work. I know here in Buffalo, you know, there's a couple of guys that got cut today over the last couple of days. Andre Smith, a guy that the Bills had actually traded a conditional seventh round pick for, who found his way on the street. But I, from what we're seeing, I'm getting the sense that the Bills kind of had a plan in place for Andre Smith to kind of maybe move him to the practice squad, you know, at some point here. But Mike, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was your article that you put out this week about Josh Allen. I thought it was really interesting, some of the quotes that I pulled from it and kind of tweeted out. So going into the season, Mike, obviously all eyes are on Josh Allen. There's no question that the Bills have one of the, you know, out of the box, they kind of come prepackaged as one of the more deep and talented teams across all of the league, which I'll tell you, as a person who's been a Bills fan for a long time, who, you know, works and covers the team for Bills games all year long, it is weird to say that roster is what it is at this point because it's very, very good. It's also very, very deep. But this whole season, it falls on the back of one guy, and it's their third-year quarterback. And I'm wondering, and I kind of got a good feeling from it from your piece, but I am wondering just how much that pressure in your experience can have a negative or positive effect on the on the sort of development of a quarterback. I think we saw the negative side last year of Mitch Trubisky. But I do think that there are several cases that, you know, when you are surround a young quarterback with a lot of talent, but also put the pressure on him, that you can create that diamond with that pressure. So I'm interested in your thoughts about, you know, Josh Allen heading into year three and just how important of a season it is for him.
You know, the pressure is what it's supposed to be. You know, the pressure on Josh Allen is exactly the level of pressure an NFL quarterback has to handle. You know, last year, first year, rookie year, no expectations. You get brought in. Second year, you have some surprisingly positive results. You reach the playoffs. Third year, the expectations are higher. That's the standard progression. He's not, nothing realistic is being put on him. He's not being overly coddled. So, you know, you'll see in the history of NFL, guys who wilt under it, see guys who really respond to it. And then there are just a lot of quarterbacks who are just guys. They just float along with it and did what they were supposed to do. And the fault or the credit goes, you know, partly to them and their own convictions and things, but to the roster around them, to the coaching staff around them. And that's where I think Josh Allen potentially has a big advantage here, is that the team also followed the logical step each time along the way. Last year was more about getting depth, getting defense, getting the offensive line in place. This year it's, let's make the big bold trade. Let's get the big wide receiver. Let's get that extra weapon. Let's adjust things a little bit with other elements of the offense and receiving core. And the added benefit of the powerhouse of the division falling what appears to be by the wayside a little bit. So all of these things are in place. Josh Allen has never struck me as the guy who's going to be like, oh my God, expectations have gotten somewhat higher. That's it for me. I'm going belly up. I'm going to buy five Porsches or any of those types of things. That doesn't seem like the guy he is. All the structures in place for him. Now it's not necessarily about, you know, what's in his mettle and what's in his convictions and capabilities mentally, but like, is the footwork going to be good? Are the deep passes going to sail on him? Yeah, once in a while, that wacky decision, is that going to go away? That often goes away for a third-year quarterback. So those are the things I'm looking at. Can he take those next steps that will make him legitimately like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, or will we see a guy who sort of backslides a little bit? Because that's where you do see in the past, you've definitely seen your Mitch Trubisky types take that backslide in that third year.
So that kind of leads me to my next question about Allen, but it's not directly about Allen, Mike. It's about the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. And, you know, and I'll throw you a tidbit here. The Bills obviously yesterday put their fullback, Patrick DeMarco, on season-ending IR, meaning at the moment they don't have a fullback on the roster, Mike. And say what you will, the quarterback could be widely considered as he doubles as a fullback. He is one of the most physical runners in the league, and he plays the quarterback position. But that also means to me that there's going to be a lot of 10 and 11 personnel in this offense. And I'm wondering your thoughts about an offense that's run by Brian Daboll that won't have a fullback in it, that's being run by Josh Allen. I don't want to say I'm like looking into the future or something here, but like, it is nice to be in a spot here in this radio station talking about an offense who is going to be running mostly spread. I am excited about that, and I just wonder from a fit perspective, do you think that's the best way to use Josh Allen?
Well, I think it was you who tweeted yesterday, we're living in the future. There's no fullback. and I spotted that, and it's like, yes, welcome to 1996.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to the current. In fact, fullbacks are coming back, and the Bills are going away from it, so it might still be a couple of years behind there. But it doesn't necessarily mean mostly spread. I mean, you might be seeing a lot of 12 personnel. I think you've got some pretty good tight ends there. You might see a lot of constricted formations. Certainly, the Rams don't use a fullback very much at all, and yet they kind of constrict the formations and all. But I think what you're not going to see is as much training wheels. I think sometimes when I see the I formation with Josh Allen or some other younger quarterbacks, it's like they're just turtling up and they want to run on first down, run on second down, and hope it's third and two. I think that they're going to get away from that. Now, that being said, I'm not the biggest Brian Daboll fan. He's one of those coordinators who always seems to finish 22nd or 23rd in the league in offense and then get the next job, in part because defensive-oriented coaches like him, because it's all about ball control and handing off on second and 10 and all the things defensive coordinators like, because they want their defense to go win the game. That said, he's going to be working within a framework he's comfortable with. He didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, five wide receivers, I'm Cliff Kingsbury now, let's do this. That's not how he's going to go. He's opening up the system on his terms. And I don't want to be the guy who comes on these shows and starts talking continuity, because there's no offseason.
Thank God.
You do have the right. You do have the continuity there. The changes are being made with a structure that's in place with coaches and people who are using the same language, terminology, and ever, and all. So that will be a benefit as they try to open things up a little bit.
You know, it's funny, Mike, because I think if I were to bring 10 people on this show that look at the NFL from a national perspective and report on it from a national perspective, I would probably bet that 9 of the 10 would have glowing reviews of Brian Daboll. And I find it super interesting that you're kind of falling under that 10% category, because frankly, I think I fall in that percentage with you. I think for the most part, people have given Brian Daboll the benefit of the doubt over the course of his career because of the quarterback play that he's had. He's had Matt Moore. He's had Brady Quinn in Kansas City, for God's sakes. He's Tyler Thigpen. Like, the quarterbacks that have played in his system while he's been the main play caller have not been impressive. So, you know, and frankly, Mike, he had been the topic of conversation in terms of potential head coaching vacancies this offseason. So, in your estimation, is this a guy this year that the excuses have been fully pulled out from underneath him? He definitely has the best quarterback he's ever had in his system. He by far has the best, stable of weapons he's ever had as an offensive play caller. And I guess this is kind of a backdoor question for you, but if they do succeed, and this is a top 12 unit, which by the way, Mike, if they're not a top 12 unit, this is going to be a major disappointment on this offensive side of the ball. We've been waiting for a top 12, top 10 unit for a long time. This is the first time they have the players to do it. Do you think he's a legitimate head coaching candidate if they are a top 12 unit this year?
He'll be a legitimate head coaching candidate if the team gets to that level for a variety of reasons, whether or not it's because of his stellar performance developing Josh Allen. I'm sure we'll talk about that, but when your resume has New England Patriots and Alabama Crimson Tide on it and you succeed, you're going to be a top head coaching candidate. That's how it's going to go. I know he was talking about last year. I don't want to play too much inside baseball on this, but there's people who rise to the top of the head coach candidate list are often people who are very good at networking. Whether their agent makes sure that the agents with high profile people on television and et cetera know how great the guy is, or they've been so good at like making friends within the coaching ranks and they've made so many friends among the Bill Belichick school and the Nick Saban schools, et cetera, that they keep rising up. But that's often the case. Now, that sounds like I'm being really negative on Daboll, maybe more than I want to be, but there's a reason a guy like him, when he fails, we are reminded that, oh, Thigpen was the quarterback that year. Or this other guy was the quarterback this year. I often wonder, it's like, well, isn't the great coach supposed to have like found a diamond in the rough somewhere along the way there, and had success that wasn't Patriot success / Alabama Crimson Tide success? All of that said, leaving aside, obviously if they succeed this year, that's a success on his resume that will probably move him forward into that set of candidates. At the same time, if there is this massive drop-off, if there's this failure here along the way, he'll be one of the guys who might be fired as a result of that disappointment. And you know what we'll hear when he gets the next offensive coordinator job? Well, he didn't have a chance in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was his quarterback, and look how that turned out. So I'll just leave that there.
Mike Tenier here on the Western Hotline. Mike's the NFL national writer for Pro Football Network 365. No, listen, I it's funny because it's true, and it's funny because It's carbon copied over every disappointing offensive coordinator across football for all of time. It's just that is the built-in excuse that you make for play callers, and that's just plain and simple of it. And I think this is a really good transition into talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, frankly, because the Jaguars are a team who have decided, okay, well, we are going to turn to our young quarterback, who, by the way, we kind of like, but also we're not going to surround him with a fighting chance to really show us what he's capable of being in the NFL. Therefore, more than likely, we're going to be in a position to draft one of either Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. With that being said, doesn't it feel like Doug Marrone should have been fired last year and then the year before that? And maybe, frankly, the year before that? Or is this just a situation where you're talking about a lame duck coach where you don't want a new head coach being put in a situation where you know if you're David Caldwell, for whatever reason, you're getting your umpteenth time to draft quarterbacks and return over the roster? I mean, David Caldwell's gotten 3 rebuild opportunities, for God's sakes. So, like, if you're David Caldwell and you know you're getting that 4th opportunity, you probably don't want to put, I don't know, a young coach in a position to basically say, we're tanking in your first year. Instead, we'll just throw Doug Marrone out there, and then next year we'll find somebody we actually care about.
Well, there's a lot there. There's a lot to that. And one of them is, you know, if you put the young coach out there, you can say, well, this is your rebuilding year. If you put Doug Marrone out there, he will operate at cross purposes to that sort of rebuilding, get desperate and be like, oh, you know, let me find some veteran and put him out there, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a reason you don't put a lame duck in charge of the rebuilding program. It's just that's not what he's going to be doing that year. Now, why the lamest of all lame ducks, general manager David Caldwell, is put in charge of anything at this point in the NFL is beyond me. So you've got an organization that I think I know from the top, and I've heard from the top that their plan this year was to cut the losses of the past. They looked at the mistakes of the past, and that included everything from Nick Foles to some of the guys they brought in who they had branded as malcontents, who really were just guys who were looking for their next contract and might have gotten into fights with Marrone on the sideline because Marrone can be difficult to deal with. Get rid of all these things and start over, and you know, to sort of eat the cap space this year. Should eat the cap space and get the draft picks for the future and go. Like a rebuilding, like a Moneyball type of rebuilding. And my question that I never got to ask was, well, then why the general manager who made those mistakes was still in charge? And the impression I get is that a lot of blame was put on Tom Coughlin. Now, there were actual grievances from ballplayers against Tom Coughlin because he would try to order them to come for rehab in the facility. Even though that's voluntary, you don't have to come for rehab in the facility when you're injured, and then he would fine them. So there are things we know that sounds like Tom Coughlin. That sounds like something he would do, and so that blame gets put on him, fine. There's a lot of things there that sound like they were blamed on Tom Coughlin that were not Tom Coughlin's decisions, coach and general manager decisions, and they blamed it on the guy on the way out the door to keep their jobs. And that's the impression I get in Jacksonville. And, you know, that's a long answer, and it's very, again, inside baseball-y type answer that leads to a team on the field that has no plan this year except to sort of take the year off for tax purposes and hide and hope that they score big in the draft next year.
All right, so I gave you a lot to unpack in that last question. I'm going to do the exact opposite on this one. And all I'm going to say is New York Jets.
Oh.
And then I'm going to ask you to then just go to town.
Okay. Adam Gase is in charge. Adam Gase excels at creating obstacles in the way of his success that give him an opportunity to keep his job. That is one of the things he is good at. Same thing with Caldwell. I mean, we're kind of going through a tour of this. Like, the head coach obviously wants to win. He's obviously got a big ego. But the moment there's something in place that says, well, this is going to require another year or two of rebuilding, he takes it. So I know Joe Douglas is the general manager there. Some of the moves, like trading for Kalen Ballage, and then he fails a physical. Like these are Adam Gase moves, like all the way. So you got a team that has waved the surrender flag. They got rid of Jamal Adams. They've gotten rid of some other guys. They got rid of Brian Winter, some other guys in the offensive line. They're waving the surrender flag. They're declaring this a rebuilding year, and it's real similar to what we just did in Jacksonville, where it's like, oh, well, that must have been a past mistake, and it's year two, year three, whatever the year is of the regime, and now we're rebuilding. And it's not good management. It's not good football. It's a great way, though, to keep your job 3, 4, 5 years when you don't accomplish anything, because then the owner comes and says, why was the team bad? And it's like, oh, we had all these mistakes we had to correct. We had to rebuild for 2 years, and it works until the owner figures it out. And sometimes the owners in England or the owners in Ireland or someplace else, and we've seen a couple examples of that now, and you get a couple of years before it gets figured out.
Mike Tenier here on the West Her Hotline. they are such an interesting It's sort of like, you know, when there's an eclipse and you know you're not supposed to look directly into it, but if you do, you're supposed to go blind. And even though you know the chance of going blind is high, you still need to look directly into the light. It's kind of like watching them. And frankly, you know, the Bills play that team in week one. And I think it's a very interesting test for the Bills because, in your opinion, like, the Bills can't walk into that game without winning by at least 21 points and expect to have respect for the rest of the season. I'm sorry. Like, that's the situation at play right now, is the Bills need not only – they've scored 5 games last year, Mike. They scored more than 21 points on offense. Week one, they actually came out and they threw the ball a ton last year in New York. And frankly, they didn't have a ton of success. They turned the ball over a lot. And I think that's really probably why Brian Daboll scrapped a lot of what he wanted to do early and likely wanted to pass the ball a lot. But like, you need to go in at home against this New York Jets team and win by 21 points, right? I mean, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put a score on it, but it's got to be this convincing win. If you go up by 14, 17 points, and then you run the ball for the fourth quarter because that's the way your mentality is, we'd all see it. We'd all recognize that's what it is there. But if you're in a nip-and-tuck game with the Jets early on, and remember, the same thing will be happening. The Patriots will be playing the Dolphins. The Dolphins are in rebuilding mode, and they're going to have all rookies and things out there. If you're going to nip-and-tuck game against the Jets, and then Cam Newton has this easy win, for the Patriots, you know what the storyline is going to be, and I think that doubt can seep into the team as well. That they've been looking up at this other team, and they're still there, and you're still kind of like scrapping among the little sisters of the poor at the bottom of the division. So you definitely want that. That said, you should get that. I look at that Jets roster, and I am stunned. I am stunned that this is a roster that was put together that money has been spent on. That doesn't have Jamal Adams anymore, does not have a pass rusher that I would consider an impact pass rusher, is unbelievably short on receivers. And so you should be able to throw the ball against them because Allen should be able to sit in the pocket and wait for the world to change. And that's how that game should go, and that's how I anticipate it's going to go. But then the concern will come in if it doesn't go that way, and I think fans will have that concern. Us in the national world will be like, that's interesting. And the team itself could start having to look at itself if that's the case.
All right, Mike. First and foremost, tell the folks where they can find all your work now that you've changed teams and updated all of your resume. Let the people know where they can find your work.
Now, you can find me a lot of places, folks, but I'm going to start right now at Pro Football Network, and you just type that into Google Go and bookmark the page. They've got a little cartoon of me. They've got a little section for me. You can find that every Monday. I'll be rocking all kinds of season or weekend review type stuff there. That's Pro Football Network. You'll also be able to find me midweek at the New York Times, and you'll also be able to find me on Thursday at my old stomping grounds at Football Outsiders. Game previews for the upcoming week on Thursdays at Football Outsiders. Of course, check Football Outsiders no matter what because there's so much stuff during the week. So that's Pro Football Network, and Football Outsiders. Oh, yeah, and the New York Times, but they don't need me to – you know who they are. So.
Imagine if you didn't like football. Like, that would be weird, right? Like,
if I was doing this for soccer, I'd be miserable. I'd go back to teaching eighth grade. That's what I'd be doing again. I wouldn't be doing this any other sport in the world but the NFL.
All right, my friend. Hey, as always, thanks for being so generous with your time and coming on and talking candidly about so many topics. I really appreciate it, man, and looking forward to all the work you'll be putting in this season, and I'm hoping to talk soon.
You got it. Take care, and then let's enjoy some football this year.
Let's enjoy some football. Thanks, Mike.
You got it.
Mike Tenier there of, as you heard it, Pro Football Network, Football Outsiders, and the New York Times. You can catch him on Twitter at Mike Tenier.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.